Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Paul McGraw. I'm the Director of Environmental Services here at Northwestern, or Northwest, excuse me. Today's session is on facilities. It's an input session, and I greatly appreciate each and every one of you attending and participating. I have a little bit of trivia, if I might share. It's personal trivia, and it's really intended for Dr. Dunham, but I don't see that he's here. And if I may share briefly, as a father of five children, a grandfather of 12 grandchildren, and last but not by no means least, one great-grandchild, I am simply amazed more often than not how my vocabulary has improved and expanded. Prime example, if I may. If my 17-year-old grandson were here, he might say a special shout-out to Dr. Dunham for an excellent session this past week. Did I say improved, expanded? I'm not quite sure. But all joking aside, I'd like to convey our thanks to Dr. Dunham for a terrific job this past week. I sat in, and it was quite enjoyable. I would, if I may, like to take a moment and share some ground rules to really help us facilitate this process. The first being the objective of this session is to get input from as many people as time permits. Try to frame your concerns in a positive manner and focus on new possibilities. We need to be possibility thinkers, at least in my opinion. The idea of this overall process is to surface ideas, articulate and clarify them, and develop a plan that considers their possibility. Again, there's that possibility word. Remember, all thoughts and ideas are valued. And with that said, at this time, I would like to turn over the mic to Mark Galbraith, who will facilitate the meeting.
Thank you for coming today. We very much appreciate you being here and to share ideas and thoughts and hopefully some innovations that we haven't thought of. You're part of a larger scope that affects us all, and hopefully will help to change our facilities in a way that is both positive and long-term and for the best for the university. This slide was introduced in Dr. Dunham's presentation last week and shows the planning model that we're following. If we go to the next slide, please. This is the planning process, where we are at this point. And I put a little bubble up. We're here. We're gathering input. We're bringing in ideas, innovations, new thoughts, etc. Next slide, please. As you can see here, we have a lot to cover. These are little-known facts. We have a poster outside with the same thing, but the sheer number of square feet that we have to clean, to care for, to maintain is pretty overwhelming. If you look at the numbers, 57 buildings. That's the larger buildings. We actually have 76 buildings all told. Some 2.3 million square feet that we clean, maintain, etc. And the list goes on. But these things are our responsibility. We have 200 people that cover this square footage, this area. And so there's just 400 hands to make everything happen. Considering what all is in front of us, it's a daunting task. But I believe that we do it very well and hope that we can do it even better in the future. So here's where we get to the better in the future part. We want to work smarter, not harder. The whole emphasis of this meeting is to bring in ideas that will help us to work smarter, not harder. With that said, if you would please take an opportunity to come to the mics on this side or this side of the room, state your names, speak clearly. We are recording, and Gina Bradley asked me to specifically mention that we need to speak into the microphones so that we can hear you. And we are recording this, as well as we have three excellent note takers here, and we recognize them in their efforts to accurately portray everything that happens here today so that we can bring all of these ideas into the planning process as they're presented. Thank you very much.
You want us to go ahead and come on up?
Yes, please.
All right. I'll start. Yay,
I'm going to go back.
Okay, is this working? Okay, Beth Parker, Custodial Services. And I'm not for sure that, and this is just my input, I know we get a uniform allowance. Is there any way that maybe we could work that out to where only twice a year or every 3 years? You know, because I think it's $125, $130, you know, that we receive. We don't have to use that money, but couldn't we just maybe put it off? I mean, we seem to keep our uniforms, and after a while, you get an overabundance. And I would just feel like maybe that is somewhere, you know, we could start.
Definitely. Thank you for that idea.
Okay.
We do have some discussions about uniforms going on right now. And so that idea will allow us to continue those discussions in a more productive way.
Okay.
And we'll definitely take that.
All right. Another question that I have is the money, for say, if it comes from custodial service, maintenance, grounds, or anywhere there's a savings, because I know you have different budgets for different services, the money that, say, custodial services, they're saving, does that money stay within their operation, or does it get, I mean, do you look at it at the end of the year or whenever a fiscal year is and say, well, we've got extra money here, let's shift it over here?
Dr. Wura can address that more concisely than I can. He's been part of these budget discussions, but I can tell you briefly that, yes, all of the monies that are in all of the accounts university-wide are being brought back into a central pool. And, you know, once a dollar is assigned to a budget, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not going to come back if it's not used.
If it's not used. Okay. The only other thing that would be a concern, and I'm sure that there is a committee that does this, and for right now, I'm very thankful for a job. I mean, very thankful. Very thankful for our insurance. Is there a committee that looks at our insurance once a year? I mean, it seems, and I know insurance premiums go up and up and up, and I know employees are covered, but for a family, I mean, it's very hard to put a family on. And do they look at other aspects of insurance premiums?
The answer to that question is, from my perspective, is I don't know. But it looks like Dr. McGraw has an answer.
Let me just say briefly, if I may, that would be a question that perhaps our HR could better explain and answer than we could.
Okay.
At this moment. And to your previous question regarding uniforms, Mark is correct. There is conversations being happening regarding the uniforms.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I'm not at liberty to say where we are at this time, but I will get some clarification for
all
you,
right,
and we'll get back to you.
Thank you.
All right.
Those are some excellent ideas, and we very much appreciate our custodial services people for the amazing efforts that they put forth. They are an integral part of our team, with from whom we could not get along without. This is going to be a really long hour if nobody wants to get up and say something. I realize that this is somewhat perplexing because it's hard for those who don't deal with these concerns on a daily basis to understand the full process. But any ideas can be helpful ideas, so please don't hesitate to verbalize them.
I was wanting to know if there's any public services or community service to come in, and I know this is kind of selfish, but in resident life where I work, there was a project done over spring break, and volunteer students that live here on campus and employees volunteered their time to come in and paint the dorms, the high-rises. It made such a difference. Second and third floor of Dietrich Hall, it was just brought back to life. Is there any possible way, and I know that Bert has assured me that the rest of that building will be painted by some community service this summer, but can we kind of like advertise, draw in that type, because there's so many square foot that needs maintained that there's not enough of us. And I was part of that, and it was fun. It was just 6 hours of spring break that I spent with students, you know, and we had the ball. They spent a lot more time, but I spent 6 hours. But can we draw people in for that or advertise for community service help?
I know that that's a continuing effort, especially for Res Life, because there are student organizations that are required to do service. And so I believe that those are ongoing discussions and efforts. I don't know how many hours we have available, but it would certainly be great if we could tap into some more of those to support our efforts, especially in places like the high-rises when they're desperately needed.
Thank you. Zilpha, I can chime in over here on that for a second, just so you know and everybody else knows. At MUM, we've got about 9 volunteers that are going to be staying, we hope, after the closing in Franken to do a little bit. And I've got 125 volunteers coming late in the summer of one of our summer camps and conferences, hopefully going to work on some of that also. So,
awesome.
Great. Some good progress this summer.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Scott.
So if I might just make a comment. If I might take just a moment to make a comment. Our group, meaning the facilities group, environmental services, is such a diverse group. We touch literally every person on the campus. We touch every square inch of the campus in one way or another. And so the questions that we may have, or the input, the recommendations, as it were, we really look to you to bring those to us and say, to help us understand, as we said, how we as a group can work smarter, not harder. We may not have all the answers, and I trust that today we will not have all the answers, but we will record them. We will respond back to each and every individual with a response. So do forgive us if we don't have all the answers today.
Thank you, Dr. McGraw. I'm going to dare some of these guys in the shops come up and say something. You got to have some ideas, guys.
One thing that just occurred to me, and I don't know what our current situation is, but at homecoming and at the conclusion of the year, I'm just questioning whether we have something in place for recycling of building materials that come out of the residence halls in terms of the bunk beds that get destroyed, basically thrown away at the end of the year. I'd like to see us have a way to use those materials somewhere else, whether it be picked up by the community or whatever, but just rather than have that go into the trash, have that set aside. I'd like to see that at the fraternities as well. We see that at homecoming, particularly when the homecoming floats are torn down. I'd like to create an opportunity, if it's the Mennonites that come in from out of town and take that stuff, but just rather than have it go in the dump, just have it reused.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. I can tell you that there are ongoing discussions about recycling here on campus, and that can be added to our discussion. I think it's an excellent idea and will allow us to maximize on a resource that's maybe overlooked right now.
It's like a poker game. You don't want to show your hand to the room.
Tanner Walker, painter and carpenter. As a painter, we have to do required maintenance. One in particular is the Lampkin Gym for commencements. Normally three times a year we have to repaint the walls in the gym because either shot puts are thrown at the walls or other damages that are done to them, which to me is unnecessary. And to us, it's basically just going on a constant uphill battle. Is there a way, I mean, an idea of maybe slowing them down or diverting that to keep the maintenance at a minimum, but it's basically just not throwing stuff at walls?
should we ask Dr. Bob?
Well, that was just one idea. We'll just let it go as that.
That's a great idea. Because prevention, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
That's right.
And so as we look at solutions for protecting our property, then we allow ourselves to do other things that are taken up by that precious time. So that is definitely something we'll look into in the future. That'll fall under my purview as it's capital improvement to do with buildings. So that's that. Hopefully we'll have an answer for you in the near future.
Also, too, as a painter, our normal finish on paint is semi-gloss only throughout the entire campus. The cost of that is for us is $18.17 per gallon of what we use. Is it at all possible where another time, or just an idea in mind concept, as far as idea areas that aren't necessarily as high traffic as other areas, could be used with a different grade of finish to save money using eggshell or satin, which saves about $1.50 a gallon. And when you're ordering 40 gallons to 80 gallons at a time, that money can add up over the next 10, 15 years. And also, too, using a different grade, using the right roller sleeves, as far as if you use a smooth, or a half-inch nap on a smooth wall, you use less paint, but it's recommended by the manufacturer to use that as the finish tool to, one, get the finish, but you're not using as much paint as you whenever you would use a heavier nap. Now, given those naps are used and necessary for brick walls, which we have tons of those throughout the campus, but something like that to kind of emphasize the use of basically not using as much paint and use our materials and resources smarter, more effectively. That way we're not using as much waste and spending as much money than what we do.
That's another excellent idea that we'll have to look into. Thank you very much, Tanner.
I've got a question and an idea. First, the idea he brought up about paint at $18 a gallon, and it made me think about all the materials, paint for custodians, toilet paper, everything, of taking a good hard look. Are we getting the best price we can on that? I know, and he may be getting a superior grade of paint, but I went to Walmart and got a semi-gloss for about 4 by 5 gallon, about 5 gallons, got it for $14 a gallon. Now, it may not be as good paint, I don't know, but it's something that we could look at. And my other comment was on recycling, and this is kind of a microcosm, I guess, but I work over at the academy, and we have a real problem with the kids when they recycle their plastic, like their pops or whatever, they leave them half full. If at the beginning of the year, they can just take 5 minutes to tell them, pour that out, because I've heard if there's pop in it or whatever, they're just going to throw that away because they don't have time to do all that. If the kids could learn that, that would help us a lot in our recycling. And the same with the cans and that. It's just a small thing.
It is a small thing, but it's also very important. And thank you very much for bringing that up. It's the small things that make the most difference. Leslie Johnson was sharing with us this week about a small thing that we could do as a community, as a culture, and a Bearcat culture, and that's picking up litter. We spend $6,000 a month picking up litter and beautifying our campus, taking care of vandalism. That's a huge cost. That's something that doesn't have to be there. If we just change our culture a little bit, it can make a big difference. Thank you very much for your comment.
Rick Allen's Electric Shop. They're on campus, especially with CIE coming online. We want to go on to more motion sensors for lights and stuff. The cost of that, in my aspect, thinking maybe try to save some money, is go back to good old human technology, just turn it over and turn the lights on and off yourself. That light switch is a lot cheaper than what some of these motion sensors are.
That is true. And quite frankly, as we've talked about before, light sensors don't do the job on their own. They require us to turn off the lights when we leave. Otherwise, we're spending another 30, 40, 50 minutes worth of electricity before the light sensor turns off the lights on its fail-safe. But thank you very much, Rick, for that input.
Hi, Kathleen Baldino. I work in the international office part-time. And I just wanted to say that the other day I saw a student worker cleaning up probably what was less than a dustbin worth of debris, like leaves and cut grass and stuff, with a leaf blower, and I thought a broom would have been so much cheaper and more environmentally friendly and stuff, and I just thought that was wacky. Something on the recycling the furniture that comes out of the dorms and stuff, I know that the BSU, the Baptist Student Union, does take mattresses and stuff and then will distribute them for free, mainly to international students, but I think Americans probably too. So that's an outlet if we don't want to store it and figure out what to do with those. And then the other thing about the turning the lights off and stuff, in the union, there are no switches in the restrooms. They stay on 24 hours, and I thought that was kind of wasteful because the union locks up at midnight or whatever, but the lights are still on in the bathrooms because there's no way, I think it's a key, but there's nobody that ever turns them off.
And so we have an opportunity there to possibly use some of these fail safes.
Yeah.
With the motion sensors.
Or install
our light switch. Thank you very much. The utilities that we use on campus, you think about 2,300,000 square feet. We probably don't equate what we pay on a monthly basis to the size of the campus. We just think about the size of the campus and that we have lights on. Well, it costs us about $240,000 a month for our utilities. That's water, gas, electricity. It's an impressive number. Now, if you think about these ideas that are coming out, these conservation ideas, it doesn't take much to make a big difference. If we were able to save 1% to 2% on our electrical bill, for instance, that's between $14,000 and $28,000 a month. Pretty impressive savings. If you can come to the microphone, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
I know it's a pain. We do want to get all of this recorded, though.
But on that, like you're saying, you know, it's a savings of any way, 1% to 2% on electrical. When they started doing that last year, or maybe they have done in the past, turning off lights or turning off some buildings without, you know, electricity on the summer. Have you seen an improvement? I mean, have you seen some savings on doing that?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
And
all right.
And we're working hard to be able to quantify that specifically so that we can bring that out and say, here's what we've done. And this is what making a small contribution, here's what it does.
Thank you.
Robin Grendon, Custodian Services. I work in Hudson and Perrin, and Matt and Desi have told us that when we come in, if we notice that the lights are on in the mornings and the sun comes up, turn off the lights and raise the blinds, and that will save a lot of electricity. So that's an idea for everybody.
And notice the blinds behind me are closed, and the lights are on. Great, great observation. Thank you very much.
I'm Leslie Gobler from the Talent Development Center. Speaking of lights, in our facility, we do try to keep the lights that are overhead lights that are on the perimeter of the facility turned off whenever we can. But on the interior part, there are canister lights, and they're fluorescent, I think. They're not really this color. And we've been told that we can't turn those off and on because it burns the bulbs out prematurely. But those are always on when I come to work in the morning, and I don't think they've been on a long time, but if we could make it so that they weren't on at all, that'd be okay with me.
So you're volunteering to turn the lights off, period?
I do all the time. my staff don't like that. They think I'm a bat. So.
Thank you very much, Leslie. There are circumstances in which we have overlighting on campus. And that is one thing that we look at continuously. We try to not do that because it costs money for the fixtures, it costs money for the bulbs, it costs money for the maintenance, it costs money to run the fixtures. So that's something that we're looking at very closely to try and bring the savings that we should have in the first place if they're designed properly.
On the recycling aspect, I have no idea how much metal, just heavy metal, is laying around campus because there's probably quite a bit. But last week, metal prices was up big time. I think it was $191 a ton, and that's sizable because a 16-foot car trailer with just a little bit of metal on it can bring you $300. So, you know, as far as recycling concept, that can bring in and generate some income quickly. You know, so, anyway.
Thank you very much.
We do that.
Okay, good.
I know. And we take care of the wood.
Right, but we don't.
But we don't do icky pop bottles, so wash out your pop bottles, please, and take off the caps. Thank you, Leslie. I'm pretty much out of fun facts, so I could talk all we want, but it looks like Dr. McGraw is going to take me off the mic for a minute.
No, you're going to save me at the end, sir. If I might share, I look in the box of suggestions that have been passed on to us, and if I may read these, I think they're outstanding. Is it too much to ask the last person using a classroom to shut the lights off? And one thing that I will share with you, in the very near future, we will be placing reminders in each of the classrooms, each of the offices, asking for your support to shut the lights off and conserve energy. We'll be ramping up our energy conservation program as well in the very near future. The second recommendation is in the summer, most classes are done by 5 p.m. Why can't the buildings be locked in? That's a good question.
Good question.
We'd save on energy, would we not?
Cut down vandalism.
The next is quite good as well. When buildings are being built, could they remember the people who have to clean them? That's a good one. They need a good size JC, janitor's closet room, maybe a break room. So we'll keep that, take that under advisement and do our very best. Right, Mark?
And easier light bulbs to change,
right.
Says Robin.
We'll work on that as well.
That would save Brick coming over to have to do it for me.
The last question was, if just a few rooms are used in a whole building, why do we unlock all doors and turn on all hallway lights? That's a good question. We'll look into that.
I know that last year or the year before, we did a usage study of classroom spaces and spaces in general on campus, and found out some startling facts that, yes, we open up entire buildings for one classroom at times. And so I know that there are ongoing discussions about how we can maximize our usage of our resources as far as our buildings, our classroom spaces, our offices, etc., here on campus. It's a great idea.
Yeah, Martin House and Electric Shop. While we're on the subject of open buildings, it seems like during the summer, a lot of times we'll have three high-rises with camps in them, and only maybe one or two floors in each one. Why can't we cut down on the number of buildings that are open and just open one?
Scott, do you want to answer that? Scott has a direct answer to your question.
I think we're actually doing a decent job of moving in that direction. I know 2 years ago we didn't really put a whole lot of focus on that consolidation effort. Last year we were able to take down two of the high-rises for the summer. Actually this summer the high-rises will only be used for 9 days this summer. The rest of the summer they're going to be shut down. So for the most part, we've got most of our camps consolidated into Tower Suites and South Complex. FBA is kind of hit and miss throughout the summer, but the rest of those buildings, if they're not in use, they're coming down.
Thank you very much. It's a good idea. Thank you, Mark, for asking the question.
This is Nancy Baxter. I'm in the finance office. I have more of a question than I do an offer of a suggestion, although it has a suggestion to it. There was a point in time in which we took some of the bulbs and some of the overhead lights and turned them off. Is that something that would hurt the fixture at this point in time, and that's why we don't do it, or is it suggested that we do it to save energy?
I don't know the answer to that question, so we'll have to get back to you. My instinct tells me that there's some reason why we don't see that more often, but we'll get back to you with an answer.
Scott Locke, Health and Safety. I know cell phone costs on this campus are a substantial cost. Is there, and I know they have been reviewed, is there any work towards a standard plan for the campus, and then any of the bells and whistles you might have that you would put them, you know, be at the cost of the user? I know with my cell phone, I'm required to have it due to the hazardous waste regulations from the federal government, but anything over and above, is there any kind of standard thing the university is going to be looking at to make cell phone costs more efficient?
I don't know, but perhaps Paul, Dr. McGraw, can answer that question.
You know, Scott, good question. At this time, I don't know that I have an answer for you, but I'll definitely follow up and get back to you. I know we chatted about it several days ago, and my comment at that time is I would need to get back to you, so I will do that.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if this is a tough crowd or we're putting you to sleep, but it has to be one or the other.
Another one.
Little known facts. How many vehicles we have that we take care of? Was it
150? 175.
Mm-hmm. And I have talked to transportation about this, being support staff president. Can we mandate a mandatory once a year or twice a year where those of us who have trucks, company vehicles, wash them? That's mandatory. You have to go do this once a year to get the salt off of them. When are we getting new trucks? Who knows? And a lot of them are falling apart, rusting, you know, whatever, because of the salt, because of the winter wear. But there is nothing implemented to where saying, okay, it's April 20th, go. Time to wash your vehicles. You know, you go today, this and that. I mean, something to where we can make, and where we as workers can do it or whatever, just so we can save up on those, the wear and tear, because who knows when we're.
Thank you.
Here I am again.
that reminded me that it's occurred to me that I don't know that we have any economy cars in our fleet. Maybe that I think there might be some Dodge Neons, but it seems like we have cars that are in excess of our need, and we should, some part of the fleet should be a little bit smaller compact car, because I think we should gauge how many times and how many people are riding alone, and they may not need the big car. I know that the car for me is usually much larger than my need. Then the other comment that ties into travel is it would be good if Northwest had a meals travel policy, so that when you're on a travel, you know, there are obviously going to be some exceptions to this, but that a lunch meal, the university will pay up to a capped amount. Anything over that is paid by the individual, and the same for dinner, so that these costs are contained.
Thank you for those suggestions.
I'm Carl Wilmes from the Carpenter Shop. I was wondering, in the future when we build new buildings, if we can simplify the architectural design of them to save millions of dollars.
I don't know if we can save millions. But that is definitely a challenge that we have. We have a diverse campus with lots of beautiful buildings, but you're right, we have to put a lot of money into them after the fact and as we're building them as well. So that's something that I'll have to deal with as we move forward in designing future projects and find the fine balance between form and function that we always strive for. Thank you, Carl.
Hi, I'm Charlotte Steens. I teach in Family and Consumer Sciences Department, that little-known department up there on the third floor of the administration building. And first of all, we turn off lights, too. We're right up there with Leslie. But our restroom lights are on 24/7 as well on third floor. First of all, I want to say I do appreciate the work of the people that do environmental services, because they really do make our campus shine, and it really does look impressive to those people that we are trying to draw as prospective students. So as I meet with prospective students, the beauty of this campus really does shine and make a huge impact on those students that are coming to our campus. On a side note, on a different issue, Astra Scheduler is a nightmare. If you print off the directions, it's 5 pages of directions to try to request one room in a facility. It's crazy. Then I want to address facilities, and thank you, Carl, for that preempt comment. Family and Consumer Sciences for a long, long time has been up there on third floor in the administration building, and part of our department is also in the basement of Horace Mann. And we have a real concern, particularly about those children who are in the Early Care and Education Learning Center, ECELC, in the basement of Horace Mann, in a facility that has, in some cases, no windows in those rooms where those preschool and younger age children are. So we are very much pro new facility, and we'll take very simple architecture to do our facility. We talk about the Bearcat family, the Northwest family, all the time, and I think this was an excellent opportunity for us to do something not only for those children in that basement of the Horace Mann, but also for those children in Horace Mann as well, so we can make a continuous, seamless transition from those early ages clear through elementary school, and as well as we have a minor in gerontology, an interdisciplinary minor in gerontology, which could easily fall right into the same stream of the Bearcat family. We have a lot of people that leave legacies on this campus because they attended Northwest, their children have attended Northwest, their grandchildren are attending Northwest. We have a wonderful Horace Mann Alumni Association to tap into, and so I think it's time that we really walk the walk when we talk about Northwest family and do something especially for those children down there in that Early Care and Education Learning Center in the basement of Horace Mann. And Family and Consumer Sciences is a wonderful place to put that department, would be in that facility, because that's what our niche is. And I think we could be a very, very big part of that as well. And somebody else can take over our space for administrative offices or something like that, because one of the things I'd really hate to miss, that I would really miss about being in the ad building, is the convenience to the registrar's offices and student services and the cashiering offices and things like that. But I would give all that up if we could get those kids out of that basement and get our department in one location.
Thank you very much. I had a recommendation, little bird whispered, that we should bring up the facts and figures, maybe jog some questions, and that seemed like a good idea, so I did.
Dustin Crafts in the Missouri Academy. First, I'd like to show my appreciation to all the custodians there. They do a lot of good work. Obviously, the academy's not the most efficient. It's so old that all the lights are on all the time. The windows, they're all, you know, cracked. All the heat goes out of it. Heating's a big issue. But, you know, otherwise than that, the Missouri Academy students really like to do their best in recycling. You know, we try to do the best for the custodians, do the best for the university. Is there a way that at the beginning of the year we get, like, advertisement, like, you know, take off your caps, wash out your bottles? As mentioned today, that we don't know if we need to take the caps off the glass because we're doing recycling now. Just, like, in general things, like, do the milk jugs need to be washed out? Because I heard that if a bag is found with a wash jug that's not washed out, then they have to scrap the entire bag. Is there, like, a checklist that we could put, like, on the recycling rooms or something that could basically tell people what you need to do, this, and this?
Yes. The answer to your question is yes. We can put those checklists on those rooms or in convenient locations to our recycling containers. But even with those, the most important part of what you just said is raising awareness at the beginning of each semester, so that the great part of our student body has that awareness and is educated and can educate themselves, given the right resources. So that's a great point of awareness. It's a great opportunity for us to hopefully maximize our recycling efforts here on campus. Thank you very much.
I'd like to follow up on that about the lights that he was talking about. I work over there in North Complex. But anyway, Rick may be able to answer me on this. As far as I'm aware, all the hall lights are on 24/7. Is there anything we can do about that? Is that wired that way to where it would be like a nightmare to redo it, or where we could cut that down or whatever? I don't know. I'm just curious.
We'll take that suggestion, and it looks like we're going to have to look into it. Thank you.
Dustin again. We've been told that, yes, it would be a nightmare. We suggested it a couple times. They're like, everything's so old that if we try shutting stuff off, they're afraid that the fire is going to go off. Or they said that it's just so old, and that the way it's designed, it'd just be more expensive to rewire everything than just to leave it on.
I'm not going to take your word for that. I'm going to push the envelope a little bit. We'll see what we can do, and we'll get back to you. Thank you. Right. Thank you very much.
I will have to say that Academy is in the best of recycling out of all of the resident halls. They have recycling rooms on each one of their floors that they live on.
That's an excellent compliment. Well done, guys.
Does recycling really bring in that much money, or is it just that we're not producing that much garbage? Which one are we all happy about?
Yes.
If it brings in that much money, why don't we put an ad in the paper saying, hey, townspeople, this is what we want you to do. If you can follow these rules, bring us your garbage for free. Thank you.
I will refer the question to Leslie Johnson, who has much more information, more pertinent information than I do.
We've accepted paper here on campus since 1993. We welcome it, we want it, we relish it. And if John gets enough, he gives somebody a tax credit for it, but it's, you know, not like a household. Plastic, costs us to recycle. Aluminum is, like, we recycle this much aluminum because they made the can so thin that it takes like 36 of them to make an ounce. I mean, there's very little aluminum. It's, you know, very little there. Glass is brand new, and we're just getting into that. But people have been welcome to bring their paper for a long time. You can do
but
that.
Cans and bottles really aren't going to help you, though.
No, okay. We that costs us, so that's the same as someone bringing us their trash, you know, it costs us to deal with that. It costs us only like this much more than it costs to take care of trash, but it's still the right thing to do. Does that maybe help?
Thank you.
But one thing we know is that people want to do more recycling and we want to find better ways to do it.
Leslie, I have a question for you. Does it really cost us a dollar for someone to take the lid off of the pop bottle instead of us doing it?
No, but that's a good.
Thank you very much for your questions.
I'm going back to talking about what Mrs. Steens is talking about with the facilities. As much as I like the really comfortable computer chairs in classrooms, I don't think it's very necessary, and better decisions can be made with desks, because I have one classroom where my desk isn't even as big as my sheet of paper, and then, like in the Family Consumer Science building, it sounds like an orchestra's going on when we're sitting in our chairs because they're so old.
So if I understand your comment right, as we have opportunities to replace these chairs, we can look at the Hyundai rather than the Cadillac.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
I'm just curious, how can we have 2.3 million square foot of floor space and only 700,000 square foot of roofing?
Multiple floors.
Duh.
Good question.
Hopefully that breaks the ice. Thank you.
Facility of services. I have a question. They were talking about replacing things, and whenever they would replace those, could they replace them with self-cleaning ovens? I was just a thought, because like at the apartments, when we have summer cleanup, it takes like 4 to 5 hours to clean an oven after those kids move out. And you figure that times the cost of a self-cleaning oven, you're paying a lot of manpower over the years, so I think it'd be worth it.
That's definitely something that we'll look into. That falls under auxiliary services, and I'm not sure what all goes into those considerations, but that sounds like a pretty powerful argument to me.
Kim Ziegler, University Relations. I don't know if they have to leave deposits for the apartment, but anytime that you get an apartment off campus, you would lose your deposit if you didn't leave that apartment in tip-top condition. You know, if they could clean their own oven, make sure that everything is taken care of, and if it's not, then maybe they wouldn't get that deposit back.
A self-motivated self-cleaning oven. Great idea. Thank you.
Mallory Murray, University Relations. The other day we were talking about one of our student phones that has voicemail on it, and after talking about it, we realized it wasn't really necessary to continue that service. And I didn't know, it's something that's just existed for years and nobody really thought about it, if there's any sort of survey going on about all the phones on campus and what features they may or may not need, that'd be a pretty big chance to save some money.
Thank you for that question. Yes, there has been considerable amount of discussion about telephones on campus. There are a few, obviously, that haven't been discussed or thought about yet. So thank you for making us aware of that. We'll let Steve Chor know. If there are no further questions, we'll go ahead and wrap up. Realize that it's a little bit early, but considering the fast and furious pace so far, we'll encourage you to use the resource bearcatitude.com, and also feel free to email any of these individuals, Dr. Paul McGraw, Leslie Johnson, Andy Bruckner, I have to look at the list now, John Redner, myself, any one of us can get your questions or ideas put into our discussions as we plan for the future and strive to make our facilities a much better run organization. Thank you very much.